Hello, my name is Roger Kerr, and I'm part of the Software Group Marketing and Strategy Organization in IBM Software Group, and I'd like to thank you for joining me today to learn more about the announcement that IBM made on July 25th, 2006, introducing the Processor Value Unit licensing structure. This announcement reinforces that IBM is evolving our per-processor licensing approach in a way that carefully balances licensing simplicity with the value an individual customer receives from our middleware when running on specific hardware platforms. This licensing evolution does not change a customer's price today, but builds a foundation to accommodate future software and hardware technologies. Please move with me now to page 2 of the presentation for the agenda. In this presentation, I'll describe why IBM is making this announcement, what we are announcing, and how it will be implemented. I'll start by looking at the current licensing marketplace and the ways that new hardware technologies, especially multi-core chips, have impacted software licensing. And to do this, we'll also discuss some key hardware terms that have become very important in software licensing. Once we have this background, I will then describe how IBM and most other middleware vendors have adapted our current licensing structure to address these changes in the interim. Then we'll take a look at the new approach IBM is announcing on July 25th, called Processor Value Units, and the benefits of this structure. This includes the key benefit I mentioned quickly on the last slide, which is that current customer budgets will not be impacted by this announcement, since we will not be changing a customer's prices in the transition to this licensing structure. Now let's start by looking at the two most prevalent licensing metrics used by IBM today on the next page, or page 3. Although there are many metrics that vendors, including IBM, use to price middleware, two of these metrics predominate. They are user-based pricing and per-processor pricing. User-based pricing is a very effective one for applications where the users are known or are part of a definable community, and are generally captured in a concurrent user or named user license structure. Now, when that isn't possible, per-processor licensing is the preferred approach. The announcement IBM made on July 25th affects only the per-processor licenses in the distributed environment, which in IBM terms would be all non-Z-series environments plus Linux when it's deployed on the Z platform. Per-user and other licensing approaches are not impacted by the transition to processor value units. So let's focus now on the per-processor license approach for the remainder of this presentation. The brands and products which are included in this announcement include DB2, WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Business Integrator, WebSphere Portal Server, and Tivoli Workload Scheduling and Monitoring Software. Now, historically, the processor was considered a reasonable surrogate for software value, since the majority of distributed processors in the past were single application servers, and all the software costs on that server could be associated with that one application. This made it a good representative for the potential value customers receive from their middleware and was simple to understand and manage. And historically, one software license was required per processor. But if your system had four processors, such as the picture you see here, you then needed to only have four software license entitlements. Let's discuss some of the key challenges that customers are facing in the current middleware licensing environment on slide 4. Now, the most important factor that has strained the per-processor licensing approach is the widespread use of multi-core chip technologies in today's servers. If you're not real familiar with multi-core technology, I will describe it in detail on the next page, but essentially it is a chip with more than one processor on it. Currently, our customers tell us that in the past year, middleware licensing has become more complex. And this isn't just an IBM statement, but in fact it's true for all the leading middleware vendors in the industry. All the vendors have effectively introduced multiple licensing levels or tiers. And as part of this concept comes the reality that on some platforms, a processor core only requires a fraction of a software license. In addition, as customers do planning for their future year's budget, they need to know how any expected new server platforms will be treated in our licensing structure. And one of the things we will do is make it clear how we will adjust to these new technologies when they are introduced into the marketplace. But before we look at these issues in more detail, Let's make sure we all have a common understanding of some key hardware terms that have become important in discussing middleware licensing. Please turn to page 5 with me. From a software perspective, the core is the most important component of the server system. It's the functional unit that actually interprets and executes software instructions. Now, one or more cores can be placed on a chip. You see an example on this slide on the left of one core on the chip, and on the right where there are two cores on the chip. When there are more than one core on a chip, we generically call that a multi-core chip. These chips then plug into what is called a socket on the server. Now, at one time or another, you may have seen the pins coming out of the back of a chip. It's these pins that plug the chip into the socket. Prior to the introduction of the x86 dual-core chips in April of 2005, there really wasn't much of a question in the industry about what a processor was. When dual-core chips were originally introduced by IBM back in 2001 with the Power 4 architecture, both the individual cores were faster than the previous generation of cores, and by putting two of them on the same chip, customers saw their performance improve over 2 times, in fact, nearly 3 times, for the chip as a whole. As a result, almost everyone agreed that the processor should continue to be defined as the core, since users were getting the full benefit of both cores on the chip. However, when the x86 dual-core chips were introduced in 2005, Intel and AMD implemented their performance improvements using a different strategy. They began focusing their performance improvements at the chip level, not at the processor core level. So, with their dual-core chips, Intel and AMD actually slowed their processor cores down so that they would require less power and generate less heat. But with two cores on a chip, customers still saw the performance and price performance improvements they expected with the new generation of x86 chips. Now, IBM, as does most middleware vendors, continues to define a processor as the core because, as I said above, this is where the software actually executes. However, most hardware vendors have followed Intel and AMD's lead and now define a processor as a chip, partly because they can't sell half a chip. So as you can imagine, this has led to a great deal of confusion in the marketplace. Now let's now look at some of the ways that chip manufacturers can improve their performance that can also impact middleware licensing, and go with me to slide 6. Depending on the performance of the processor core, the number of processors required for a particular workload can vary by processor type, with more processors required when a core is relatively slower. Now, this difference impacts the way a customer has to evaluate alternative platforms when considering where to implement an application, especially regarding the number of middleware licenses required. For a middleware vendor, this processor core performance disparity creates a dilemma regarding our historical one price for all approach. Do you set your prices targeting the slower processors available, thus providing a bargain to those with the faster processors, or do you instead set them based on the fastest processors available and effectively overcharge those with the slowest processors? What we need to do is set the price level which is appropriate for each of these alternatives. And this challenge will increase in the future, as I'll show you on the next slide, page 7. The difference between the faster processors and the slower processors will continue to increase over time as technology vendors deploy alternative chip performance strategies. Some vendors, such as IBM with its power architecture, continue to improve the performance of its processor cores. Other vendors, as an example, Intel and AMD, are increasing the number of cores on a chip, that is, using multi-core chips, to drive overall chip performance and are maintaining their processor core performance. This, therefore, will increase the difference in core performance between these different technology implementations. Now, some people, especially some hardware vendors, have suggested this problem could be solved by licensing at the chip level. And let me explain why that approach won't work as well for middleware on the next slide, slide 8. I mentioned earlier that the software actually is executed on a core. And with all the power available in today's processor cores, customers increasingly want to partition their systems so that an application is limited to only a subset of the total processors on the system, and have the licensing structure support this. This is the reason we introduced subcapacity licensing in 2005. This approach is also becoming increasingly common as virtualization technologies are more widely adopted. In the example on this slide, a customer who has a System P server that has four processor cores on it wants to run an application on three of those processor cores and DB2 in the one remaining processor core. Under the traditional full capacity licensing model, they would be required to have four licenses of DB2. With subcapacity, however, they will only require one DB2 license. Now, if IBM used chip licensing instead, customer would be required to effectively pay for two processor cores, even though DB2 is only used in just one core. And this situation will worsen as the number of cores per chip continues to increase with quad core, then octa core. And in fact, I saw a press release from Intel just last week that by the end of the decade, they expect to have 24 cores on a single chip. And it's because of this trend that middleware vendors, IBM included, need to license the processor core today to meet these customer requirements. Let's now see how the middleware vendors have reacted to these changes on slide 9. The changes in the middleware licensing began, as I mentioned, when the x86 dual-core chip was announced in 2005. Now, since customers were getting less than 2 times the performance improvement over the previous generation of single-core chips, IBM made an exception to our one license per processor core policy and only required one license entitlement for the 2 cores on the x86 dual-core chip. And other vendors also adopted this approach. Then, late in 2005, Sun announced new server systems using the T1 octa-core chip. You may be familiar with that. Its code name was Niagara. And we made additional exceptions since it had unique performance characteristics. Now, all of this has added complexity to software licensing for both vendors and primarily for our customers. In effect, what the industry has done has introduced multiple licensing levels or tiers for software licensing. You can see that IBM has 3 separate tiers, while some of our competitors have even an additional tier over that. Now, all of the middleware vendors on this page except Microsoft define a processor as a core. Because of this, our customers in effect have to deal with fractional licenses at the processor core level. And we've heard from our customers that fractional licensing and the rules around it are confusing. Now, as we mentioned on the last page, as we're going to get increasingly dense multi-core chips, this problem will only get complex over time. Now, let me make one other comment while we're looking at this table. I know that there are some vendors out there who are telling customers that all they need to do to determine the right middleware offering is to compare themselves with IBM, looking only at the number of software licenses required. However, I think I can show you that that's only half the story. Let's go ahead and move to slide 10, and I'll explain what I mean. With differing licensing structures in the marketplace, there is some confusion about the pricing of software. The license entitlement shown on the left side of this chart only captures the quantity. To understand the real price of software, customers should compare the price per processor core that they will have to pay for each of their middleware alternatives. Now, this is easy to do. All you need to do is multiply the entitlements per processor times the price per processor. Now, for example, using the enterprise edition of each vendor's data server product, so for IBM, that would be DB2 Enterprise Edition. There are some situations where IBM may require more effective license entitlements, but when you look at the bottom line price that a customer pays, we are very competitive. And when you add to that the enhanced value, especially with products like the newly introduced Viper, we think we have a very compelling story to tell against any of our competitors. Now, this chart was developed using suggested retail price as an illustration. If you do the same analysis at your entitled discount level, I'm sure you'll find similar results. Now, please move with me to slide 11, and let's take a moment and summarize what IBM is hearing customers ask us for in the face of these changes. First, customers want as simple a licensing structure as possible, understanding that simplicity needs to be balanced against precise measurements of the potential value that a customer can receive from their middleware. And as part of this, that includes the elimination of fractional licensing at the processor core level. And customers tell us they want greater flexibility in deploying middleware licenses on servers that use multi-core technologies, leveraging subcapacity licensing where they have partitioned those systems more granularly. And customers want to continue to see price performance improvement of their middleware as the underlying hardware performance improves. And finally, a licensing structure which is more predictable and clarifies how future technologies will be treated in middleware licensing. And IBM is addressing these issues by evolving our existing per-processor licensing structure to a processor value unit structure, which we'll discuss on the next slide, slide 12. As I said, we're addressing these issues by introducing the per-processor licensing replacement, processor value unit licensing. Now, a processor value unit is simply a unit of measure used to differentiate licensing of middleware on processors, and over time we'll evolve it to differentiate processor families based on relative performance. Initially, however, our focus is to convert to the new processor value unit structure without disrupting our customers' current plans and budgets. So going forward, all IBM middleware which previously used the per processor licensing metric will now be licensed in processor value units. And we've moved the same three broad tiers or levels that we have with the per processor structure over to the processor value unit licensing structure, and all existing processors have been assigned to one of those tiers. Now, for each product, customers will need to acquire the appropriate number of processor value units for the level or tier of the specific processor on which the software is to be deployed. Now, all the processors within a given processor family will be assigned to the same tier. A processor family is a group of processors within a given processor technology that may vary in clock speed or cache size, but have the same or similar processor design and performance characteristics. We are not going to split families or cause customers to have to buy additional processor value unit licenses when they've only installed minor technology upgrades to the existing hardware. And the real benefit here is that you, as a customer, can come into a particular server line at the lowest performing level and upgrade to the fastest performing processor in that line and not have to pay additional licensing fees. Let's go ahead now and turn to slide 13. Now, to convert existing per-processor licenses to the new processor value unit licenses, we've used a conversion factor of 100. As an example, each core on a RISC dual-core-based system required one license entitlement prior to this announcement. And going forward, all you need to do is multiply that one per processor license by the conversion factor of 100 to get the new processor value unit requirement of 100 processor value units. Or for a different example, if you have to acquire one per processor license today on an x86 dual-core server that has a total of two processor cores, and this would be in the old per processor structure, you would now need to acquire 50 processor value units for each processor core to get the total processor value unit license requirement of 100. Now, as you can see, this is also the same answer that you would get if you took the one per processor license and multiplied it by the conversion factor of 100. Now, by using a conversion factor of 100, we've eliminated the fractional licenses and simplified the task of determining the number of licenses required on a server. And, just like the previous licensing structure, processor value units for a product are fully transferable among systems. So, for instance, if you now have the equivalent of 100 processor value units of DB2 Enterprise Edition on an x86 dual-core system, and want to move these to a system P5 Plus environment, you can migrate these 100 processor value units to run on P5 Plus system with one processor core. This will help protect our customers, invest their middleware investment, and increase the flexibility they have to evolve their system architecture to more fully support their business objectives. And let's please now move to slide 14. Now, the migration of existing per-processor licenses is also simple. We're using the same conversion factor of 100 processor value units for each per-processor entitlement as we discussed on the previous page for all processor entitlements. With this conversion, customers' prior processor entitlement investments are protected as there are no additional processor value unit entitlements required, assuming the customer has the appropriate level of entitlements under the old structure. Now, for example, using the same example that we used on the previous page, in the per-processor licensing, an x86 dual-core system required one processor license for the two cores on that system, effectively one half of a license per core. And migrating these to processor value unit entitlements, this conversion would result in 100 processor value units, or one per processor entitlement times the conversion factor of 100. And this is equal, again, to the required processor value unit entitlement level for this configuration, given two processors times the 50 processor value units that an x86 dual-core server requires, equaling the same 100 processor value units. Now, earlier I mentioned that we're introducing this new structure without impacting the price customers currently pay. And let me show you how we accomplish this on the next chart, which is slide 15. Just like the conversion of per-processor licenses to processor value unit licenses, we've used the same conversion factor of 100. In this case, though, instead of multiplying today's price by 100, we've divided it by 100 to get the new price per processor value unit. Now, let me be clear about why a customer's price doesn't change as we move to the new licensing structure. We mentioned earlier that the price a customer pays is the product of the number of licenses times the price per license. And by multiplying the number of licenses by 100 and, at the same time, dividing the price per license by 100, the net effect is no change. As you can see in this, you can see this clearly in the table at the bottom half of the chart. Here we're using WebSphere network deployment on a RISC dual-core server as the example. Originally, the customer would have acquired two licenses at $15,000 U.S. for a license total of $30,000, and all our prices in this example will be in U.S. dollars. By dividing the price by 100 and at the same time multiplying the number of licenses by 100, the customer will now have 200 processor value units priced at $150 each for the same total of $30,000. Now, in order to accomplish this, we maintain the existing three tiers from the prior structure. So I'd like to just end this chart by emphasizing the point one more time. A customer's price will not change as a result of the introduction of processor value unit licensing structure. Let's take a look now at slide 16, where I'll talk about flexibility from a couple of different perspectives. Through the use of the processor value units and subcapacity licensing structures, we continue to make it possible for customers to consolidate their servers or their workloads in order to optimize their middleware system's design. And the processor value unit licensing structure continues to allow the flexibility in providing customers with continued software price performance improvements. As processor cores improve from one generation to the next, we plan to make sure that we continue to deliver software price performance improvements on these succeeding technologies. And let's now move to slide 17. As we place new processor families into the processor value unit structure, a key objective of IBM, which I mentioned on the previous slide, is to continue to deliver middleware price performance improvements. And going forward, we will also consider the relative performance as a factor for assigning processor value units to a new processor family. Now, to determine this relative performance, we will assess a number of different industry standard benchmarks. These benchmarks include both transaction processing, such as TPCC, and processor-based benchmarks, such as SPECINT or SPECJBB. Now, other factors we will consider to determine the number of processor value units are market conditions and a desire to maintain as simple a structure as possible that carefully balances licensing precision with administrative simplicity. And we will publish the processor value unit requirements for complete transparency so that all our customers will understand the licensing requirements across different platforms. Let's please move now to slide 18. And to help you determine the number of processor value units you might require on any particular server type, we are also providing a processor value unit calculator. Now, of course, you're certainly not required to use the calculator if you already know how many licenses you might need, although we do recommend it in order to obtain the latest processor family announcement information. And you'll be able to link to the calculator from the Passport Advantage online page, which is available to any customer with a Passport Advantage contract. We will step them through a series of questions in either expert or guided mode that will include server vendor, server brand, and processor type. And after inputting the number of processor cores on which the program will run, the calculator will assist you in determining the appropriate number of processor value units for your hardware environment. Let's move now to slide 19. And I think as you can see, with the new processor value unit licensing, IBM has made the licensing structure clearer and simpler to administer both for our customers and also for IBM. And specifically, we've done this by reducing the complexity of fractional licensing and continuing to provide the flexibility and granularity for licensing IBM middleware, enabling subcapacity licensing at the core level, and continuing to deliver software price performance improvements. And of course, this structure also provides licenses which are transferable across distributed systems, protecting our customers' investments. I'd like to emphasize one last time that we are not changing middleware prices with the introduction of this structure. And now the benefits of this structure aren't limited just to new multi-core chip technologies, but in fact also position us to address the increasing adoption of new hardware and software technologies in the future. The bottom line is that the new structure will provide a sustainable licensing foundation for the future. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to explain IBM's processor value unit licensing structure announced on July 25th of 2006. If you have any additional questions, I please ask you to contact your IBM representative or your IBM business partner. Thank you.